This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Let's go to the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Andy Staples is there with The Athletic, talking a little college football with us. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Morning.
You doing all right?
Doing good.
Good. You answered a question in a mailbag that piqued our interest, and to be abundantly clear, you never said that this is imminent, but you did say the conference that would be closest to eliminating divisions and doing some sort of unique pod scheduling would be the Southeastern Conference. That got our attention. But again, you're saying it's not close to happening right now.
No, I wrote about it back in October, and I talked to a bunch of people, and there is support for it, especially among the teams in the SEC West. Florida's the one in the East that would be for it, but people are sick of basically not feeling like they're in the same league. Schools are tired of kind of boring home schedules where, you know, if you had more teams rotating through, there'd be a more interesting home schedule that you could sell to season ticket holders. But there are a lot of factors there. There's also the LSU and Florida complaining about having to play each other every year when other teams have easier, you know, set rivals. And so I think it's one of those that before people were like, oh, there's no way. That's too complicated. But if you look at it, it's really not that complicated. And so I do think there are people willing to talk about it. And, you know, I think you look at the Big 12, and obviously they only have 10 teams. They can do the true round robin. But it is nice that they get to play everybody every year. You do feel like you're in the same league. You know, like I think the week I wrote the story was Florida-Auburn week. And that's two teams that were annual rivals for years and years and years. I think the only games they skipped were there were three during World War II that they didn't play. And so they were annual rivals till the turn of the century, and then they never play anymore. And it was crazy because I remember Gus Malzahn saying that it was his first time going down to Gainesville to coach. And you're like, wait, you've been in the SEC 11 years if you count when you were coordinator. How's that even possible? But that's just how it happened when they expanded to 14. You didn't get a chance to play everybody. And Georgia played Texas A&M for the first time as conference rivals. I mean, they've been in the same league since 2012. So there's a better way to do this. You don't have to have divisions. Now, the bare-knuckle fight, if they ever do get down the road with this, will be who plays who every year. Because you got to pick three.
Now, Andy, I do agree. Regular season scheduling would be more interesting in the SEC if we went this route. But back to your Big 12 reference, my problem is their championship game just doesn't have the feel that the SEC championship game has right now. It seems standalone. It seems really unique.
Well, you know why they don't have the feel? Because they got Big 12 teams playing it.
Good point.
That is a legitimate point.
If the best team in the SEC plays the second best team in the SEC, I guarantee you it's a big game. Guaranteed. Yep. So, and remember, there's been rematches in the SEC championship game before. That's not unheard of. So that's why. It's because it's Oklahoma and Baylor versus LSU and Georgia. It was going to be LSU and Georgia either way. You know, if all that had happened the same way, if they'd scheduled in the pod system and come up with the same records, it still would have been an LSU-Georgia SEC championship game, and everybody still would have been pretty excited about it.
Well, not that commissioners or ADs are greedy people, but, Andy, I don't think 2017 – Does it happen? Does Alabama get in 2017 with Georgia if we do it this way? My fear would be this would eliminate getting two SEC teams in if that ever is going to happen again.
Well, remember, it's not going to be a four much longer.
Oh, that's right.
So you got to look at the long view, because if you make a change, then you better hope that change is going to last for decades. And remember, the last time a change like this was made was 1992. So, you know, this has had a pretty good run. And obviously, this is not something they're going to do overnight. So if they did something like this, I would guess, just, you know, reading the tea leaves, that they would sink it to, oh, I don't know, when the playoff contract runs out, which is probably when there will be probably a larger playoff, would be my guess.
Are we to the point where they'll actually discuss this in Destin this year?
I don't know if they're going to – see, here's the thing, and the alcohol sales thing is a really good kind of barometer for that. years and years and years, we'd ask you to discuss alcohol sales. You going to discuss alcohol sales? And they'd be like, no. Well, they were discussing it amongst themselves all along. They didn't admit they were discussing it until like last year. So it may be that they're discussing it, and trust me, they're discussing it amongst themselves. They've been discussing it amongst themselves with the scheduling thing, but they are not going to admit it until they're really, really close, because people will freak out. I mean, think about how much people are resistant to change in college football. The SEC has been scheduling the same way for almost 30 years now. If they decided that they were going to seriously consider making a change, people go nuts. So I think it's one of those where it will be discussed quietly, behind closed doors, but not publicly until they're ready for that. And I don't know that they're going to be ready for that quite yet.
Andy Staples is with us. He is with The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Andy_Staples. And he's with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. One of the things as a fan, all right, as a fan that I look at, you know, some of the schools, if you had three set games, it's pretty easy. I think Alabama's kind of one of those. It's Auburn, it's Tennessee, it's LSU. But when you get to some other schools, Andy, it's not as cut and dry. For instance, Auburn. I mean, it would be Alabama, it would be Georgia, but then do I want to see Auburn LSU every year, or do I want to see Auburn Florida every year?
Or Auburn Tennessee. That was another long annual rivalry that got sacrificed to division. So, I mean, that's the thing. That there's a lot of questions that you'd have to answer. That I think that's where the real argument would come, is how do you pick the three? You mentioned Auburn. Florida's another one. You know, do Florida and Tennessee have to play every year? The assumption is yes, but if you think about it, that wasn't even a rivalry until they made division. They barely ever played each other. So, you know, Florida has to play Georgia, but the other two are kind of up in the air. Florida LSU has been an annual rivalry forever, but they don't really want to play each other anymore. So, I mean, I think Florida would be fine with LSU still playing them, but I don't think LSU wants to play them anymore. So, yeah, it's a very interesting mix. And I don't know, somebody would be mad, you know, because somebody's going to say, like, one of the Mississippi schools would be like, no way, we want to make sure Alabama or Auburn's coming in every other year for ticket sales purposes, you know, something like that. But you would just have, it'd be the same thing. There is a balance. When you have an 8-game schedule and a 14-team league, somebody's going to get stiffed on the deal. And you just got to try to make as many people happy as you can. But that the other solution is go to 9 conference games. And I actually think that the teams that have designs on winning the SEC and making the playoffs, your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Auburns, your Floridas, your Georgias, they'd be fine with 9 conference games. It's the other schools that do not want that. The other schools want to schedule for bowl eligibility, so they want to have that 4th non-conference game available to them. Because adding a 9th conference game would solve a lot of these issues of teams not seeing each other, of not, you know, not having a good home schedule to sell to your season ticket holders, that sort of thing. But I think the pod thing might actually be easier to get more people on board for than the 9-game thing.
Sticking in the SEC, never got your take. Who had the better hire, Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
Whew, that's a great question. I don't know, because the Mississippi State thing I think is a really good one. I think there's more unknowns with Lane, because – you know, we've seen him at the Power 5 level, and I actually thought he did a good job the year he was at Tennessee. I thought he very much underachieved at USC, and he'd tell you that too. But Mike Leach has never underachieved. He has always overachieved. The thing about the Mississippi State hire that I find interesting is, you know, when they fired Moorhead, I was looking at it going, okay, guy won 14 games in 2 years, beat Ole Miss twice. Did Mississippi State forget what they are, who they are? Because my theory on Mississippi State has been that Dan Mullen lulled them into this false sense of security that it's easy to win 8 or 9 games a year, easy to go to a bowl game every year, easy to get, you know, closer to the top half of the SEC West. That's not easy in Mississippi State. That's really hard. And I wasn't sure that they understood that. When they hired Mike Leach, that told me they do understand that. Because you look at Mike Leach's history, Texas Tech, decent program in the Southwest Conference and in the Big 12, but never a great program. He raised their level. Washington State had good years under Mike Price, but had really fallen off the table. He raised their level considerably. And when you think about, you know, these are really remote places. They're hard to get to. they're not surrounded by a bunch of great players. He still raised their level. Now he's in a place where he really is surrounded by a bunch of great players. There'll be more talent on this team than he's ever had on a team. The problem is the competition will be better than he's ever faced, too.
Andy Staples of The Athletic with us for a few more seconds. If you haven't already done it, subscribe to The Athletic. It's great stuff. I always enjoy your mailbag. This week, my buddy Lance hasn't seen this yet. He's a big USC fan. In a roundabout way, you call Clay Helton the modern-day Ron Zook. Explain that.
Well, he's different than Ron Zook in one way. Now, the question was, did I remember a situation where the fan base had so poisoned the well on a coach, where they turned on a coach so badly that the coach couldn't recruit anymore? And I said the situation with the fan base reminds me of Ron Zook, because Florida fans never really accepted him. And I remember going into his last year, between 2003 and 2004, they were completely checked out, basically open revolt. And that probably got him fired sooner than a guy with his record would have gotten fired in 2004. It gave Jeremy Foley cover to fire him. But the thing is, Zook never really quit recruiting well. Zook was always a pretty good recruiter. And so that was the difference. You look at Clay Helton's situation, they've completely fallen off the map in terms of recruiting. You know, they were in the 60s this year with their recruiting class. And I realize it's a small class, but that's no excuse at USC. You know, even with a small class, you should be near the top 20. So I don't know what you do. You know, the Zook thing's crazy because, remember, most of the 2006 Florida National Championship team was recruited by Zook. Clay Helton, the way he's recruiting, he wouldn't be setting the table for somebody like that. They're just not doing that. And I think it's probably because of the way the world has changed and social media and all that. You know, in 2004, Facebook had just been invented. Feelings didn't get as far as fast as they do now. I think the negative energy around Florida back then, if there was Twitter, Instagram, all this other stuff, probably would have been similar to what USC is now. But it just that stuff didn't exist then, so it didn't get as bad. Unfortunately for Clay Helton, this is what he's got to deal with.
He is Andy Staples of The Athletic. You can also listen to his podcast, very good college football podcast, The Andy Staples Show. You get that at Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, and follow him on Twitter at Andy_Staples. Thank you very much for the time, Andy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Take care, man. Andy with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. At your favorite retailer now, three flavors, strawberry, mango, black cherry, only 100 calories, two carbs, and gluten-free.
Like talking to that guy. Some great ideas that he throws out there at The Athletic. It's our Cowan Equipment poll question this morning. Do you want the SEC to drop divisions in football and have the best two teams play in Atlanta for the championship? And it goes on to the pod scheduling that could get teams into your stadium on a regular basis. You can go vote at Jock's Roundtable. It's brought to you by Cowan Equipment.
Your Roundtable poll question, always built with Cowan Equipment, your full-line Volvo construction equipment dealer. Winner has arrived. Call to schedule your maintenance right now. Mention the Jock's discount. These guys will hook you up. For more information, you can always go to Cowan.com. Family owned and operated since 1938.